Welcome to the Arkansas Baptist Women Podcast. This year, we are focusing on what it means to be an Arkansas Baptist woman, a woman who loves the Lord, lives on mission for the gospel, is present in her calling, is trained and equipped to lead, and is sold out to Jesus. I'm excited to talk about life, ministry, and our relationship with Jesus. So grab a cup of coffee and join the conversation. Hey, sweet friends, it's Andrea. I hope that your day is off to a great start. We are back with Creating a Culture of Evangelism with Catherine Renfro. Today, we're going to get into the nitty-gritty of how to actually create that culture. Catherine's going to bring some really powerful truths to us, truths that are going to be applicable to your life as well as your ministry setting. So enjoy this episode with Catherine Renfro from Evangelism Conference, where we talk about creating a culture of evangelism.
Now, you can sort of think through, as pastors' wives, as ministry leaders, how to really cultivate a heart for evangelism, a culture of evangelism in your ministry. And it's all going to begin here. The first phase is the examine phase. And when you think about examining, we've got to examine our own souls and our own life in ministry. As pastors' wives and ministry leaders, you are constantly giving. You're constantly pouring out. You're constantly doing, constantly serving. Like, it never ends, right? It never ends. But here's my question to you. How are you doing? That's not a question that we get asked very often as ministry leaders. We hear a lot about how other people are doing. It's not very often that people take time to see, like, no, how are you doing? And I want to ask you, examine these two areas. First, examine your own soul. How are you doing spiritually? Is your soul healthy and being filled up by Jesus? If we're not being filled by Jesus, then we have nothing to pour out into others. So we've got to be with Jesus. We've got to be learning and growing and just worshiping Him. Like, His Word feeds our soul. Worship music, just worshiping Him feeds our soul. I tell ladies all the time, just turn on worship music and sing. And when you don't feel like singing, sing anyway, right? Because it does this, it stirs our affections in our heart for King Jesus all over again, and we're filled up spiritually. The Lord convicted me about 6 months ago in my own life. It was actually a Sunday morning. We're setting up for church, getting ready, and the Lord just said, hey, Catherine, chill out. He said, I have not called you to serve out of the overload. I've called you to serve out of the overflow. We've got to be filled up by Jesus so that what we do for Jesus is out of what He's doing in us. He works in us and then He works through us. And so our souls have to be filled up by Jesus. Then I would say, examine your life and your ministry. How many of you have been in ministry for more than 3 years? All right? More than five? You just keep your hands up. 10. I'm going to move 15. 20. 30. 40. This is incredible. 50. 55. Okay. We're like the 50 to 55 range in here. Now, that's incredible. But let me ask you this. Do you remember when you first started in ministry? Do you remember that excitement that you had? Maybe that nervousness, but that, like, anticipation of what God was going to do? Do you remember just wanting to see people come to know Jesus? Here's what I want to ask you. Do you still have that same passion 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years later as you did on day one? Man, we need a passion for the gospel. We need a passion for lost people because it's why we do what we do in the first place. But God has to give us the passion. We cannot manufacture passion and burden. It has to be given by Jesus. So we evaluate our life and our ministry. Here's what I've learned in my own life, ladies, is that we can't lead what we don't live. We can't lead what we don't live. We want the women that we're leading and serving to be a part of what God is doing to advance the kingdom. We got to show them what it looks like. We got to live it so that we can then lead them to it. One of my biggest regrets in our early days of ministry, we started out in student ministries. Any student people in here? Love that. We love students. But the biggest regret that I have from our early days of ministry is while we did a lot of events at the church, And we said, hey, bring your friends. Invite people to come with you. They're going to hear the gospel. They'll have a chance to respond to the gospel. We didn't do a good job of equipping students in particular to go out and share the gospel in their schools, on their sports teams, where they work, wherever it may be. We did a lot of that come and see. I think all of us fall into that in our ministries. Like, we do events at the church or wherever we are, and we want people to come. But it's just as important to send people to go. And the Lord just convicted me and said, Catherine, the reason why you're not equipping these students to share the hope of the gospel outside the walls of the church is because you're not doing it yourself. I started looking at my own life. We had neighbors that we hung out with all the time that didn't know Jesus. They knew we served in the church. They knew Chris was on staff at the church. We never told them about Jesus. My own grandfather did not know Jesus, and I had never once attempted to share the gospel with him. So we can't leave what we don't live, and so we have to examine our life and ministry. So you start with examining, and then you go into the next phase, which is embrace. Like, we have to embrace a plan for evangelism. I don't know about you, but if I don't have a plan for it, it's probably not going to happen. So every plan will look different. But I do want you, as a ministry leader, to think about what your plan could be to train, encourage, and equip the women in your ministry to live out the gospel. And while I say every plan will look different, there's a couple of things that every plan should have, like a few elements that every plan should have. First of all, it's going to take you as the leader modeling evangelism. It's going to take us taking opportunities to share the gospel, taking opportunities to tell someone about Jesus, being willing to talk to someone about what God's doing in our life and let him take the conversation wherever he wants it to go. When I think about this, anybody a fan of going out to eat? If it gets me out of cooking, like, I'm there. Sign me up. But, like, we go to restaurants. This is something all of us can do. We ask the server, hey, how can we pray for you? We did this last week with a server in our area. I was out to lunch. Asked the server how we could pray for her. She took a second, kind of stuttered over it for a little bit, but then gave a prayer request. And then she goes to say this. In my entire serving career, only one other person has ever asked how they could pray for me. And I was like, wow, okay. And I was like, well, we're going to pray for you. I said, but I got to tell you, like, I'm encouraged that at least one other person has asked you, you know, if they can pray for you. And she goes, yeah, I think he was like a priest or something. And I said, well, listen, we're not priests, but our life has been changed by Jesus. And then we got to talk about the gospel. That's what it looks like, you know, just asking how we can pray for someone. You do that. And then you go into your ministry context and you share those stories with the ladies that you're serving. And it gives them ideas on things that they can do. You see how that works? So we're embracing the plan, but we have to model it. I love this quote. Robert Coleman said it. He said, one living sermon is worth 100 explanations. We don't need explanations as much as we need demonstrations. Like, we learn by demonstrations. And so, man, how can we engage in conversations and then share those with people that we lead? A heart for the gospel really does display itself through conversations that we have. And so we pray for that and we have a plan. The second part of a plan, you'll to model it, but then also just choose a tool. Now, there may be a tool that your church already uses or that you already use to share the gospel. It could be anything. At the Northern American Mission Board, we have a tool called the Three Circles that we love to use. I'll share with you, there's an app called the Life on Mission app, if you want to look that up. It's got the three circles on it. It's also got another tool called Best News. Those are just simple things that you can literally read to somebody, you know, as you go through the gospel. I'm not here to sell you on a tool, because it doesn't matter what tool we use. What matters is that we're sharing the gospel. She's got the app right here. I love this.
I've used this before.
You've used it before?
Yeah.
Helpful?
Yes.
I'm glad you didn't say no.
Well, you used the app, but my husband had explained it to me a while back, and we had a food pantry, and we just had papers lying out with the circles on there.
Yes.
And so one lady came and asked about it, and I explained it to her.
Yeah.
So...
We have the three circles drawn on a wall at our church.
Yeah,
this is a church. You guys are so encouraging to me right now. Look at this. Someone drew the three circles. You can do it however you want. Literally, so we have the three circles on a wall at our church, and my husband sent me a photo from the church staff meeting last night, and my six-year-old little girl, you know all about her, was drawing the three circles on a whiteboard. And that just melts my heart, you know? But when people can see it, you know, yeah, so it's allowing them to learn to share the gospel. So it doesn't matter how you do it, just having some kind of tool that can train people to know what to say. Not if they get a chance to share the gospel, but when they get a chance, right?
Oh, yeah.
So having a tool and being prepared for that. And then determining times and places to equip your ladies. If it's not on the calendar, it's probably not going to happen. And so, hey, is it at a large group ladies gathering that you do? That you just take a few moments to share the gospel and teach people? Is it, you know, during a Bible study? Is it during a small group? It could be anything. At one of our last ladies gatherings that we did, it was actually near the holidays, so we made wreaths. I'm like the least decorative person ever, y'all, but the ladies wanted to do it, and so we did it, and it was awesome. But you know what we did after that? Is we took a few minutes to talk about the power of our testimonies and what God's done in our life, and then gave them time to write out their testimony so that they're equipped to share their testimony with someone, and we challenge them to go out and tell someone. So it doesn't have to be this large 3-hour formal training. You see what I mean? But it's about talking about the gospel, equipping your ladies, being intentional to equip them to know the gospel, be able to share it, and then challenge them to go and do it. So determining times and places. Those things are important when it comes to embracing a plan. Your plan will look different, but just start somewhere. What is your next step to think about? What can I do to encourage my ladies to know and share the gospel? Now the third phase, so you've got examine. Then you move into embrace, which is what we just talked about. The third phase is the engage phase, and I love this phase. Because it's so practical. It's like getting to the hands-on of actually, we've talked about sharing the gospel, we've learned the gospel, now like let's actually go out and do it. The first time I ever shared the gospel, it was the worst experience of my life. Did anybody have a good experience the first time you shared the gospel? Praise the Lord. We got one in the room. One in the room. Mine was like, I won't tell you the whole story, but I learned to share the gospel, and then they made us like go out in the community and try to practice sharing the gospel.
Yep.
And so I went up to this house. I was terrified. My palms were sweaty. My heart's racing, which, by the way, still happens today. And I did not want to go. Like, I was praying, dear Lord Jesus, please don't let anyone be home right now. Well, as I knocked and prayed, someone opened the door. And thank you, Lord. And so I go in. They invited us in. I didn't just like bombard them, you know, but get into the house. I got to share my testimony for the first time in my life. And it was incredible, you know. And then we kept talking, and there was people in the family that wanted to know more. And I got to share the gospel. And I thought, I can't believe what I'm getting to do right now. And then one person said, I want to know Jesus like you know Jesus. And I thought, this is crazy. And then we prayed. And at the very end of praying, this person looked up and then looked at all of us and then eye to eye and laughed at me and said, I'm just kidding. We don't really believe that mess.
Oh, gosh.
That was the first time.
Wow.
I didn't know what to do. What do you do then, right? So I just walked out of the house with the group. And into my mind, I said, I don't know what just happened. I don't know where I went wrong. But I don't ever want to experience that again. And I'm never telling anyone else about Jesus. It's funny how God works in our life, and I'm very grateful. God's like, don't tell me what you want to do. For at least 7 years, I never mentioned the name of Jesus outside the walls of the church. At least 7 years. And here's what, ladies, as we're thinking about engaging people in gospel conversations, we've got to prepare them for those moments. In fact, we shouldn't tell our ladies, if this happens, we should say, when this happens. We should go into conversations anticipating Jesus to show up and do what only he can do, but also knowing that the chances are very high of someone rejecting the gospel. Because if Jesus was rejected, we can expect to be rejected. Now, there's a couple things you can do to help ladies engage in gospel conversations, to find success for them. To find success, because success is not seeing someone saved. Mm-hmm. Success is simply sharing the gospel. Mm-hmm. So prepare them for that. Does not matter what the results are, because we don't control the results, right?
Right.
Paul tells us we plant seeds and we water seeds, but who gives the growth?
God.
God, right? That takes the pressure off of us, and it takes the pressure off of our ladies that we're equipping. So define success. From there, create a prayer plan so that you're praying not only for lost people in our lives, but you're praying with one another. Praying with and for these ladies. Pray for people who don't know Jesus. I actually can give you a list of things that can help, because we talk about praying, but some ladies just don't know what to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray. So pray for an opportunity to start a conversation. Pray for salvation. Hey, pray for boldness, knowing the enemy uses fear, doubt, rejection, all the things to hold us back. Pray for the right words to say at the right time. I love this. The Holy Spirit is so good to show up and give us the right words to say at just the right time. Scripture tells us that, right? Luke. And then pray that the Holy Spirit would do what only He can do. So pray with your ladies. Spend intentional time praying. One of the best things I would say that we've done with groups, and it doesn't matter if it's students or adults, we still do it today, is leave time at the end of our gatherings, whether small groups or whatever, just to talk about who are we praying for that doesn't know Jesus, and what conversations did we attempt to have the week before. It just provides this opportunity to share stories, pray with each other, hold each other accountable. All of that comes from these things. And then provide conversation starters. Maybe you need some of these conversation starters, but the hardest part to getting into a gospel conversation is knowing how to bridge the gap to get there.
Right.
Like, how do you turn an everyday conversation about our kids or sickness or a job, a struggle, whatever it may be, how do we turn those conversations into gospel conversations? Here are some conversation starters that you can use and you can provide for your ladies to use. How can I pray for you? Do you have any spiritual beliefs? You can take a picture of these. If you want me to send these slides to you, I'm more than glad to do that too. So Andrea can get you my contact info. The first time I ever asked someone if they had spiritual beliefs, like any spiritual beliefs, it was literally in a Walgreens. It was the cashier. I said, I'm going to ask you the most random question. And she said, go for it. I said, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And her eyes got so big. She said, I can't believe you asked me that question. And I thought, uh-oh. She said, I went to church for the very first time in my life last night.
Wow.
It was a Thursday morning. She went on a Wednesday night. She said, I'm seeking something.
Wow.
I thought, this is wild. This is incredible. She said, I actually left church and went and bought my very first Bible. I was like, this is amazing. And she goes, no, baby girl, don't let me fool you. She said, I'm trying to read it. I don't understand it. It's written by some king or something. You got that King James version. I don't understand that either. You know, we laughed about it, but I explained different translations. I said, hey, there's a church right next door. I only knew that because I was there for a work thing. But I went over next door. I got a different translation of the Bible, came back, explained to her, the Bible is the Bible. Same Bible, just different translation, a little easier to understand. We got to have a conversation and pray together at the cash register. But only Jesus can take a conversation from, hey, do you have a Walgreens card, to praying together at the cash register. But He'll do it. Every single day, we cross paths with people who need to know there's hope in Jesus. And every time we're willing to use a conversation starter and navigate that to get into a conversation, you are doing one of two things. You're either encouraging people who already know Jesus, or you're going to point people who don't know Jesus to Him every time you start a conversation about Him. So use these conversation starters. And then from there, the last phase. So you help people engage in these conversations. Help them start them. And then last phase is encourage. The encourage phase for creating a culture of evangelism. We've just got to be encouraging our ladies to engage in evangelism. We've got to create a culture of encouragement. A culture of celebration. If your ladies are praying for people that don't know Jesus, celebrate that with them. If your ladies are attempting to have a conversation with somebody, celebrate that with them. Because they're being obedient, right? So celebrate the obedience. Someone comes to know Jesus, throw a party, right? Someone gets baptized, throw a party, celebrate it. Listen, people will replicate what we as leaders celebrate. Do you see that? So create this culture of encouragement. I love this. I love when one person sees another person being used by God and says, if they can do it, I think I can do it. You know? One person in our own community group said, I've listened to you guys encourage us to talk about Jesus in everyday moments of life for a long time, and I always thought it was for the professional Christian. Right. Ladies, do you ever get tired of people thinking you're professional Christians? Like, as pastors' wives, ministry leaders, like, that does not make us a professional Christian. We are all needy Christians. We need Jesus, right? We just are needy people. But this person said, for the first time in my life at work, I was able to talk to someone about my relationship with Jesus, and now I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I can actually do it. And also, I want to do it again and again and again. Because here's what we see when people get a taste of what it's like to share the gospel with somebody, or a taste of what it's like to lead someone to faith in Jesus, there's nothing else we want to be a part of. Because that's what we're created for, right? It's so exciting to be a part of what God is doing in someone else's life. And I just pray we don't ever get over that or take it for granted. God's given us the privilege of a lifetime to be in ministry. He's also given us a privilege to help the ladies that we lead and serve to see they too are in ministry. Our places look different. Our mission fields look different, but the ministry of reconciliation is the same. And so I just want to take a minute. As we close our time, I just want to spend time praying. Can we do that? And then Andrea is going to come up here, but here's what I want us to do around the table. We're just going to pray, and then Andrea is going to give us some conversation questions. But will you just spend time praying? And we'll say this, one person pray for each thing. So one person pray for a burden for lost people. Another person pray for a passion to share the gospel. And then the third person pray for God to help us take our next steps when it comes to this culture of evangelism and what it could look like in our ministry context. Okay, so one person's praying for a burden, to give all of us a burden for lost people. One person's praying for God to give us a passion for the gospel. And then another person is praying just for God to help us in next steps so that we begin creating this culture of evangelism in our ministry context, okay?
Thanks for listening. I hope today's episode helps you embrace the full, free, abundant life that Jesus provides. Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe to the Arkansas Baptist Women Podcast. If you would like more encouragement to help you grow in your faith, visit our website at absc.org/ABW. Come back next time as we continue to talk about how we can worship, grow, connect, serve, and share together. I can't wait to talk to you soon.